was that?
What?
What's that sound?
Where?
It's aliens and they're living in your town. They have arrived.
What?
They're all around. So many aliens living in your town. Are you scared of
Hello, weirdos. How's everybody doing out there in weirdo land? Beckett, you are late again.
Yeah.
What the shit?
It's the traffic in Palm Beach. It's horrible.
Vicky, you being the educator, when someone is late constantly for something.
Yeah. But he did send a visual.
I did send a picture
of the traffic.
It was pretty ambiguous
and
to where you were.
Yeah, we made fun of your visual. I love when people send, hey, I'm here, I'm there.
I'm almost there, but then there's no sign in sight, so you
your
have no idea.
Your picture was so broke down, it could have been anywhere.
It could have been any street. But the brake lights very close were apparent, no?
Beckett, you got to get your act together.
Yeah.
Next time we want a timestamp on that, a date and a timestamp.
All right.
Okay.
We got a lot to get to, y'all. We got a lot to get to. I want to say thank you to everybody who has emailed me about my buddy Bigfoot. Now, if you don't know who Bigfoot is Jim Romano, one of my bestest friends in the world. A couple years ago or a few years ago, I donated my kidney to him. And that was actually 7 years ago, Danny. Can you believe that shit?
It's pretty hard to remember. We did the kidney jam at that time. That was one of the songs we worked on.
That's when me and Danny's kind of, met each other, started working together. But he had a pretty bad week, Beckett. My kidney failed him, finally.
Damn.
And it went kaput. And we have to get him a new kidney. And he almost died this week. It's been a real rough week, man. I got to tell you. But update, he's conscious. He's doing good. He's laughing. He's smiling. And he's ready to fight to get his new kidney.
So, does he have to find another donor now?
To Bigfoot.
To Bigfoot.
Yes, we do have another donor for him.
Awesome.
We're just trying to get his body healthy enough to take the kidney. So thank you to all of the thoughts, all of the prayers, whatever you want to call it.
Yep.
We appreciate that. His family does love it. So thank you. Thank you very much. Denny's. I hate to put you on the spot, my man, but I kind of thought a good thing to do would be start this podcast out with some Denny's random facts.
Nice.
Okay, as always, Denny's will be reading us his random facts. Vicky, our educator, she's going to be grading them. Vicky, be a hard ass tonight.
Okay, I am really, really tough on them, okay? I got my game face on. I got this.
Okay.
All right. Let's go, Denny's.
I mean, you don't have to condemn me or anything.
Does anybody need a beer, by the way? We're good. You need a beer?
I'm good for today. Soon, though.
Uh-oh.
If you're going.
I'm not going yet, but we can share this one, Vicky.
Well, I could grab a beer if you need it.
No, you have to do,
you have to do your facts.
Denny's random, okay, you guys can hold the fort down.
After Denny's random facts, we'll do a beer run. All right, Denny's, give us something hard.
So I did like a wide scope of things this time. Things that are intriguing, things that are historical. So let's see. First one being, when the results began coming in for the March 30th, 2005 Powerball drawing, lottery officials suspected there was fraud involved because 110 players claimed the second place prize position. All 110 players, turns out, had gotten their numbers from fortune cookies. I fact-checked that on Snopes.
Wow.
What a level of coincidence.
Maybe we need to get a beer and Vicky because she is not impressed.
You're not impressed? No. You don't think that's like an awesome, crazy happenstance?
No.
Wow.
That's a C.
Damn.
Shit. This is the end of the year for Vicky. She's cold.
But I'm not going to throw away my fortune cookies anymore now.
Well, look at that.
Yeah. Check it for numbers. But yeah, it's a C. I'm not wild.
Are we overmodulating at all? Slightly? Okay, yeah. Just making sure.
Out there on this radio lingo, I don't even know what it means.
Okay, yeah.
Well, Beckett's definitely overmodulating.
Beckett's laugh is making us overmodulate.
I'm getting red over here from that.
Beckett, if you can, try not to laugh directly into the microphone.
I've never been called a modulator in my life.
Okay, y'all. By the way, we got 4 people watching on YouTube.
New numbers.
Thanks.
All right.
Thanks, Mom.
That's one of those probably Jen, too, I bet.
Your wife.
Yeah, totally.
So Beckett's mom and Denny's wife. I think my dad's watching this from Panera Bread.
Yeah.
And then I think...
I think the guy from Wayward Souls Promotions, I think he's watching me on there. So, all right, we're all represented by somebody.
Oh, we're up to 5.
All parties accounted for. In ancient Hawaii, it was forbidden for men and women to eat together. And women were actually only allowed to eat certain types of food. But the taboo was broken in 1819 when the king had a dinner party with women and he called the festivity a luau. That's the history of the luau. Boom.
It is pretty fucked up when you really look at the history of just how women have been treated.
Yeah.
Right.
I'm not trying to be pandering. I mean, if you just if you look up the history, it's pretty messed up.
It is messed up, without a doubt. And pretty recently.
No, that's what I mean, man. And I mean, was it the 60s when liberation, burn, baby, burn?
Yeah.
That's what we're talking about? Yeah. Holy shit.
Yeah.
Well, even now, women get paid less for doing the same job a lot of times.
So. I don't want to get into that debate because I don't have the capacity to do that right now. Okay. But there's many reasons about that with the whole pay gap thing.
Okay.
There is, but I don't want to get into that right now.
Totally. Well, so let's get into this. This might warp your childhood slightly. Christopher Robin, the kid who had the teddy bear Winnie the Pooh and inspired the stories, was credited for killing 28 soldiers during the Battle of the Bulge. That same guy that the Winnie Pooh was based on became a soldier, killed people.
Yeah.
That doesn't warp your childhood?
Ooh. Man.
Nobody likes Winnie the Pooh? How did you hear that before?
That's
such a random depths of the internet.
It's about
fact.
Death, okay?
Whether you heard that before or not, Vicky, act like you've never heard that before. What is that grade?
It's a B. It's interesting.
That's so fascinating.
Enough. It's interesting.
Have you heard about Christopher Robin's life? He has such a tortured childhood because he was Christopher Robin. He was the basis of the story Winnie the Pooh that his father wrote, and he had a terrible tumultuous relationship with his father because he said that his father turned him into a cartoon character for his whole life. And it's so crazy. You think that how much joy people get from Winnie the Pooh and how tragic the backstory is.
Right. Okay, next random fact.
You don't think that's cool?
Beckett, I see you over there kind of watching the whole thing. How do you think Denny's is doing right now? Because clearly the room is not responding well.
Well, I think he was kind of set up for failure because you set up a hard grading curve in the beginning.
Damn.
It's true. I'm used to a grave. A curve.
A curve.
A curve. A grave.
I need
that's
a grave.
That's what you're digging.
Yeah. You're digging one.
A grave? Okay. On a scale of 1
I meant
to
say grading curve.
On a scale of 1 to high, how high?
Oh, it's a lot. Plus, we've been getting all the lighting right, so my head's been in the lighting.
Yes, we are still trying to figure out the camera angles, the lighting here in the Weird Whatever podcast. Thank you to all the people who give us the critiques. Some of you are oh so vocal.
All right. Addiction was a Roman term for a slave, and it originated from a Latin myth where a former slave, addictus, was to roam the earth with chains attached, but he eventually grew comfortable with the way they felt and he traveled the world. Boom. Addiction.
I kind of like that one, actually.
It's super cool. It ties into Greek myth.
And it ties into, you know, you're really chained to that addiction till you break. I like that one.
There's actually a lot of mythology that has super profound, like, meaning within a simple story. Even the one that's famous where the guy pushes the rock and right when he gets to the top, it falls back down. And for eternity, he has to do that.
I love little stories that you read them or you hear them, and then a day later, you may not get the message or the lesson when you first hear it, but all of a sudden, It's crawling in your thoughts. You constantly keep thinking about it. Sometimes there's movies like that where I didn't like it, and then I keep thinking about the movie.
For like days.
2 days later, I go, why do I keep thinking about that movie? Oh, shit, I actually liked that movie.
Yeah.
It provoked my thought. It made me think, baby.
Yeah, a lot of stuff creeps on you like that.
Isn't that weird? There are some movies that I did not like, and then the second or third time I watched them, I was like, oh, that's pretty funny.
I feel that way about certain shows. I feel that way about certain songs. And there is a whole science behind beat him over the head with it. We hear it in radio.
Yeah, totally. Ad nauseum.
Beat him over the head with it. Eventually, they'll like it. And although I don't agree with it completely, there's something to repetition.
Yeah. Best in show.
That movie?
That movie. I didn't like it when I first saw it.
It's so dry.
And then as I watched it, I'm like, oh, the Busy Bee. The Busy Bee.
Royal Tenenbaums is the same way.
Hated The Office. Hated The Office when
too.
I first started watching it. It's my all-time favorite show now. I go to bed to The Office every single night. Couldn't stand it the first 3 or 4 times. In fact, people that listen to our KVJ show, they go, I fucking hated you guys. You guys were terrible. And then about 3 weeks in, like herpes, I kind of got used to you.
Yeah. I felt the same way about beer and coffee. The first time I had beer and coffee, my reaction was almost the same. Like, people drink this? Like, this is gross. Now they're staples of my diet.
I never, ever liked any taste of alcohol, ever. There's not one alcohol that I like.
That you're like, ooh, this is nice.
This tastes great. Now, do I like how it makes me feel?
Yeah, that's the trade-off.
Of course. Vicky, thoughts?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't really like the taste. But, you know, like if you put it in fruity stuff, that's also the deciding factor with alcohol. But last night, I have to say, I had a Bloody Mary, and I know you hate them. But they put way too much alcohol in that thing. That's all I tasted.
Bloody Mary, your grandmama's drink.
That's the hangover drink right there.
Ooh, I love Bloody Marias. Put a little tequila instead.
Yeah, I started to get one. I went to Rosalita's. I started to get one.
Yeah. Rosalita's, they're delicious. Okay.
Are you guys sponsored by them?
I do get paid to talk about Rosalita's, yes. But they have great ribs. If you ever want ribs, go there, Denny. Or what's your name, Beckett? All
right. I'll go there, too.
I got an email here. Let's get into the weird shit, y'all. By the way, we got to keep this to an hour. Last week was an hour, almost an hour 30. Yeah. That's a friggin' movie. A
therapy session.
I keep hearing this strange humming sound by my house. I live out in Jupiter Farms. You guys have any idea what this is? It makes me feel very uneasy every time I hear it. Sometimes it happens in the middle of the night. I get a terrible feeling in the pit of my stomach every time I hear it. What on earth could this be? Ricky from Jupiter Farms. Dennis, do we have that clip?
Yeah, right here. So he hears that outside?
Yeah. Going to bed at night, that's what you hear.
It sounds like his neighbor shirtless mowing the lawn.
Damn those speakers.
Yeah, I came in quick on it though.
Denny's has to ride the audio for Beckett's laugh.
And I'm like potting down the humming.
I'm modulating.
You are over modulating. But yeah, so I have gotten a ton of emails about people that are hearing this weird hum. I know we've talked about it before here on the Weird One of our podcasts. I've heard the weird hum before. Nobody knows what the shit it is. There's theories. There's all kinds of, oh, it's this, it's that. But nobody knows what that is.
Well, Jupiter Farms is a hot spot. It's hot for paranormal activity. I've had several investigations out there. It's also where there have been quite a few UFO sightings.
Really?
And also a little history on it. That's where Al Capone used to dump the bodies. Oh, so that was one of the areas where Al Capone would dump his bodies.
Vicky, in just one little segment, completely destroyed Denny's facts. Oh. Just
kidding. But we had to do research on the general area because we had so many houses in that area that we investigated. So we did an in-depth search.
So Hoffa would dump bodies there, huh?
Not Al Capone.
Al Capone.
Hoffa probably got dumped there.
Yeah, he's probably there somewhere. But
Hoffa, I'm getting my gangsters mixed up. That's what whiskey will do to you, Vicky. Okay. But okay, so let me ask you this. Is that place actually haunted because of the bodies that were dumped there?
We weren't ever at blah, blah, blah. I was just possessed for a minute there. We were never able to conclude any positive proof that it was from, you know, a deceased person from that era that he might have dumped out there. Different houses, different situations on who we thought was still remaining there. But that whole area, anybody who lives out there can tell you, it definitely takes on a different atmosphere at night.
If you, okay, there's a graveyard. You take the tombstones down and you build a house over it, kind of like Poltergeist.
Poltergeist, yeah.
Do you foresee horrendous issues, or is it?
I wouldn't say horrendous, but you would definitely have activity. That's being disrespectful.
Do you feel activity today? You felt it 2 weeks ago. Anything today?
I haven't really had anything. You kind of worried me when you asked me if I smelled anything over here, but other than that, I haven't really felt anything.
Okay.
It's actually a topic I'm actually really interested in because I've been telling my friends that downtown, there's that historic graveyard right there across from the Norton Museum. There's actually someone buried underneath. There's actually some grave sites actually underneath the Norton Museum, I actually learned. But across, it's like it's going to be, if not already, it's like a very valuable piece of real estate right downtown in the midst of all of this development. Right. And I think that there could be a nice way that you could build up, you know, some 20-foot, 30-foot, you know, nice mausoleum, mm-hmm. like tribute really way, and then build up like right above it. And you don't have to relocate the graves like they do on some real estate sites, whatever, and you can go above it. And my friends are, oh, no one would buy in that building with a graveyard. I'm like, psh. You know, if you can get the land at a discount, it's just sitting there.
And do graveyards freak you out a little bit?
No.
They don't? You'd have sex in a graveyard?
Nah, would you? I mean, I guess it just depends who it's, what's the scenario.
In your opinion, Vicky, is it disrespectful to have sex in a graveyard?
I would say yes. It's disrespectful. What if it's, supposed to be, you got to go back to, it's supposed to be sacred ground, hallowed ground. This is where, especially if you go back to, say, Native Americans, that was their burial grounds were, you do not mess with those, because those are very important. So doing something like that, plus it's not, you know, advisable.
Is it something, though, that's more of an individual thing? Kind of like, okay, all right, for example, I've got some people in my family, Italian people who are a little, you know, all right, let's do something crazy. They would love the idea if somebody had sex on top of their burial area. Is that more of a human concept of morality? Oh, you should never do that because that's morally wrong. Or is that something that is an individual thing? Are there some ghosts not give a flying shit if you're having sex about?
There are some spirits who, you know, will actively watch you while you're getting busy. So, yeah, because we don't lose our personality when we go to the other side. So let's just say you're a peeping Tom over here. You're going to continue that on the other side. So you're going to take opportunities to watch people.
So there's peeping Tom ghosts out there? We have roaming peeping Tom ghosts.
So do they peep other ghosts, or are they just, they're solely here for the humans?
Usually the living. Can you imagine? And just like if you had an addiction, like say you were an alcoholic or you were a drug addict, you will hang around the living who tend to have that same tendency. And sometimes, especially if you're in a condition where basically you can get jumped by the ghost, they can temporarily get that high from you, and then they'll just move on.
Think about that. That's a peeping Tom's heaven to be in purgatory.
You're right. I mean, Vicky, it really would be. Okay, Beckett, do you ever get freaky with yourself, by yourself, if you
yes.
if you knew that your loved ones were watching you?
If I knew?
Yeah, yes. Like passed on loved ones.
You're like,
ones.
Oh man, no matter what, they don't want to be in the room, but for some reason...
they're stuck with you.
They're stuck.
I think it would be one of those progressions where like for a while I would say, no way. But if they like didn't give me privacy, I'd be like, all right, this is your guys' fault.
We got a really weird email on the line. I got to find it.
Right. But the graveyard thing would depend on what the scenario is, right? If Megan Fox wanted to get with you in your car, like I don't really think it matters where you are.
You Megan Fox? You're a Foxy, are you?
Yeah, I'm an eyes guy for sure.
You're a fox head?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, if I wanted to really show my age, I'd say Carmen Electra. She was like the pre-Megan.
She was
Fox,
the original,
right?
Yeah.
Brunette with cat eyes, you know.
All right. Here's that weird email.
All right.
It's titled "I'm in Love with a Ghost," Vicky.
Okay.
Dear Weird Whatever, I have a ghost who has sex with me a lot. I mean, sex a lot. I think I'm in love. My question is for Vicky.
Uh-oh.
Can you fall in love with a ghost and have a relationship? I had the biggest orgasm with the ghost who's haunting my bathroom.
Hot.
Bathroom. I don't know. Is that awesome? Vicky, am I crazy or can I have a relationship with the ghost haunted, horny, and confused in Wellington?
Okay, my concern would be most of the time when you're talking about having some type of intercourse with a spirit, it's usually not a human spirit.
Ooh.
So I would just be hesitant to.
What do you mean by that?
Inhuman.
Yeah, I think we all get that. Right. It's not of it's out of this earth.
No. I'm talking like not a human spirit, like a succubus or an incubus.
Oh, you're talking like a demon,
right?
But right. What if
that would be my concern?
The succubus
like that.
Would make more sense.
but what if that succubus was? Like nailing it, the best sex ever.
Yeah, but you have to realize they have an ultimate purpose, like any demonic does. So, I mean, it would be rare, and, you know, there could be other things going on. It could just be mental.
Could that email be fake? I mean, or could that be a legit real email? Because I think some people are going to hear that, go, that's a fake email. That could be real,
it
right?
It could be real. It would be my concern as to if she's really having those experiences, who is she actually interacting with?
Denny, let me ask you a question. Okay, you wake up every morning at 2 a.m. and there's this hot ghost that you see, Jen can't see, that this ghost seduces you, has sex. It's unbelievable.
Like I lose all control. It's over.
It's unbelievable. And you know this ghost comes to you every single Wednesday. Every single Wednesday, the ghost is going to visit you.
All right.
And rock, I wasn't sure what you were talking about there.
And rock your world.
All right.
It's the best you've ever had.
I hear you.
Do you allow the ghost to rock your world, or do you feel like you're cheating on your wife?
I'd feel like I was cheating, because you're attaching to another person. So,
but they're not a person.
You're right. Well, they were a person.
But they are just a spirit, just here to use you and abuse you.
Is it a succubus or a fuckubus? I'm kidding. I don't know.
Wow, Dennis. Language, Dennis?
All right.
Now, seriously, though, there is a danger because just like people who are physical mediums, their lifespan is usually shorter because you're constantly connecting with the other side. So it's not healthy to have constant relationships with people on the other side. So that would be my other concern. It's just you take on illnesses and things of the people that you come across. So there's a chance, because I read for people, I get physical ailments, and I actually physically feel them. There's a chance that I am taking years off my life by doing this, by connecting. And there's spirits that bring like actual sickness that can get attached to you, the living. So, you know, all joking aside, if that's really happening, she needs to email me.
Okay. Email Vicky.
Yeah. Horny in Wellington.
No, Denny's. Show a little respect. It was haunted, horny, and confused in Wellington. Yes, right.
Didn't Demi Moore do a documentary on this?
Did she?
Ghost.
Did she? Oh, geez. Look at that.
I don't know if you guys have seen this story. There was a 6-year-old girl out in New Jersey who was bitten by a 12-pound Matagu. The girl was rushed to the hospital and expected to make a full recovery. The 12-pound Matagu was quickly captured and then killed. The Matagu population has grown since 40% since 1995. Beckett, jeez, what are your thoughts about the Matagu?
I don't know what it is.
You've never heard of this?
No.
Really?
Yeah.
It's been on Yahoo News, been covering it.
AOL had it.
Vicky, have you heard about this?
Well, I haven't been on AOL since.
I still use it. Yeah,
I get that.
So, a lot of judgment coming from over there.
You never heard of a mad at you? Really?
Oh, you're mad at me. I just got it.
I was waiting.
You said it too many times.
Damn, I was trying to get Beckett.
Really teed it up.
We could edit that out. What's your name, Denny?
We'll take it out.
Yeah, there's a Matahue. There's
Updog.
There is.
We said Dick Four last time.
Dick Four, yeah. Henway.
Henway.
What are the other ones?
The snake one. The hiss.
Yeah. That was the
Snake Dew.
Snake Dew. Vicky, any from the 80s?
Let's think.
Oh, what? I'm always representing the 80s. What? Right.
I grew up in the 80s.
No, but I'll do homework. I'll come back with some of them next week, okay?
Well, thank you. Another email here. Did you all see the Reddit thread that had what feels good but hurts at the same time? I have a paper cut, and I love pouring salt on it. It hurts so bad, but feels so good. I know it's weird, so that's why I'm sending it to you guys. I also sent you the Reddit thread of the top weird answers where people admit all of their weird pain pleasure shit. Do you guys agree with this list? Okay, so here's a list about things that hurt, but they feel good at the same time. Do you guys agree with this list? Having child... only Vicky can answer this. Having a child birthing poop.
No.
I mean, there's got to be some relief buried in there.
I would agree with Denny's on this one. That's not a hurtful but pleasurable, no?
Just from sheer displacement.
Okay, all right. Okay, so I apologize.
Girls don't have prostates. It's like more of a prostate thing, right?
They don't have prostate? I don't know.
Girls don't.
Do they? I know they got utes.
They do have the utes.
They got the uter.
The fallopes and the utes for sure.
They got the F-tubes. I know that.
I know.
So Vicky's saying 0-1 on that one. Did not feel awesome and awful. Okay. Scratching and rubbing a mosquito bite.
Ah, it's the best.
I'm going to say yes.
Oh, yeah.
What's your mosquito bite tactic? Because I got one like on my hip for some weird reason.
I will get it. I'll get real close to the warm water.
Oh, that's good.
Hot water.
Yeah. That's,
make it real steamy.
If you put really hot water on it, it's
nice. I get a real pink like.
See, I scratch around it in like a tic-tac-toe fashion. And then that way I don't actually spread the
I did. Have you guys ever had sea lice really bad?
Oh.
Sea lice really bad with hot water on it?
I can't get it.
It's like a, you know.
The only time
it relieves the pain while you're in the extreme hot water. So it's this cost-benefit analysis because as soon as you're out, it's
bad.
Horrible again.
Sometimes when you grow a beard, it can be kind of painful and uncomfortable. And there's a warm, like a hot water that. Yeah. Oh, it feels so good.
But sometimes there's a weird
ASMR.
Sometimes there's things that are actually has science attached to it. You know, like the sexual, like the climaxing and asphyxiation thing. Like that's something that.
Where are you going, Patrick? where are you going with this?
We were talking about scratching a mosquito bite back then.
Thanks for being so honest, Ben.
I'm just saying, some people are into that.
Into what?
The when you
autoerotic asphyxiation.
Yeah, that's what it's called.
Are you into that, Beckett?
No, but people have asked me for it.
Sir, would it be kind of you?
Really? What would they ask you?
Well, I'm saying it.
They want a little bit of the.
Certain people like it, so it intensifies the orgasm, right, Dennis?
That's so I've heard.
Look at this.
I want to hear more of this.
Look at this son of a bitch looking for a partner over here.
Well, he gave you the Latin term, which made it sound more legit.
Oh, I know of the practice, but I haven't practiced the practice.
Is our microphone blown out yet?
I've been watching it. But yeah, no, you're right. You can tie pain and pleasure together.
No, it is not to get weird, but I have two dated people that are into the same thing.
Yeah.
And I was kind of shocked about how frequent that fetish is out there where people, and I'm talking girls that are.
And the conservative ones too.
I mean, I don't know about all that. I don't know if we got to get political back.
But no, are you talking like librarian, like conservative?
Right.
Yeah. You think they're shy and then, you know, they want you to choke them.
Okay, on the list again, what feels good but hurts at the same time? Being spanked.
Yeah, I mean,
I feel like I'm making Vicky uncomfortable.
No, I was going to speak on this one. Okay, I was going to raise my hand and speak on that.
Speak on this.
It depends on the severity of the spank.
Okay, elaborate on that.
It just
can't be,
if you have a welt when they're done, that's gone too far.
So do you think a spanking can be a little bit erotic in a sense?
Mm-hmm.
Wow, Vicky's a freak.
Little booty tap.
And I haven't even had the beer yet.
Yeah, here, let me get that. I'll get it. No,
Dennis,
carry this.
Let me get the beer. You know what, Dennis? You are in charge of carrying the show now.
All right.
Go.
But can you get out?
Do you have the list?
He's got to forget it.
Well, so I'll just throw out one that I like to do. So,
get it.
Well, so, I mean, I'm sure there's a female equivalent, but when you shave your face and you put aftershave on, it burns, but it feels so clean and disinfecting.
Okay.
So clearly no one else shares this with me.
Keep stretching.
Right.
No, but I have one similar to that. Like you have a sore throat and you do either the apple cider vinegar or the salt because it burns. Mm-hmm. But then I mentally think, oh, I'm healing it. So it's okay.
So
it feels good.
The way I always got rid of a sore throat from when I was like, I don't know, like 17 to present day is I gargle with whiskey. It has to be high alcohol though. And that always cures my sore throat.
Can you open this for Vicky with your mouth? Because I can't find my can.
Do you know?
Dude, I think it's open. It's half open.
It's
like
half. Yeah.
Oh, no.
It's half drunk.
Oh, it's spilled. All right. You know what, Denny's? Continue.
No, here. Let me get a drink. Let me get a.
All right.
Do you know?
There's another beer in the Mountain Dew fridge. We'll edit all this out. Probably not.
No.
But if you're driving along and you can't see it, just, you know, close your eyes.
It's all on brand.
Yeah.
Do you know a painful thing that I like that I, you know, have always been kind of curious as to why it's the case is hot sauce.
Thank
like
you.
Having my mouth on fire and snot, you know, coming out running of my down nose, your nose. Like, is I just always come back for more.
You like that snot, don't you? Yeah. You know, it's weird. Anytime I sprain my ankle, or let's say, for example, okay, I banged my elbow into this hard, pointy thing at work, and my left elbow is killing me. It's so sore, but it's weird, and I know it's going to sound odd. I like pressing down to the point where it hurts. It kind of feels good. It makes me it makes me relaxed in a weird way. I don't know, man. I guess I'm a fucking freak.
Yeah, no. I think all that stuff does feel good.
Yeah, there are some painful things I do like. I don't know what to tell you. Tattoos. Some people really like the way a tattoo feels. I didn't think my tattoos hurt at all, actually.
I think it all depends on where you get them and how you're feeling.
I get them on my balls.
That would be a rough tattoo.
Kidding. I don't have a ball tat. Don't send me an email. Disinfecting a cut with alcohol rub.
No.
It feels good. The burn feels good.
I like
clean.
The Listerine burn. The Listerine burn.
Do you know what I do like, though? Kind of what they were saying in the email. When I have like a hangnail and ketchup gets in it, I don't know, man. I like to press it down and
squirt it out.
No. Why are you always talking about squirting?
I saw a lot of squirt in your refrigerator.
Popping a pimple.
Oh, it's the greatest.
I get no pleasure out of that. No pain / pleasure.
It's work, but I feel like I'm happy with my day's work with that.
I don't even know if I want to say this one. By the way, this one got the top votes. We're all adults here, though, right?
We don't act like it.
What do you think the top answer was? On
something poop related.
No.
I mean, but you're in the vicinity.
You're sort of in the area. Again, this is the popular thread on Reddit. What feels good but hurts at the same time? The number one answer. No, what do you
get? Yeah, say it. No, you tell the good people. You pulled this list from Reddit.
You say it.
Oh, so number one chimed in at anal.
I mean, it got so many votes to the point where the second place was way low, and there was comments galore on that.
Asphyxiation. That's another one that's gained popularity over the years.
Huh.
Some people don't like when we talk about sex stuff on the weird whatever. All I can say about that is, y'all, sometimes it gets...
That's an important part of life.
It gets a little sexual.
It absolutely is a large portion of life.
You can't talk about weird things in life and not have that come up every once in a while.
Okay, this one's a good one for you, Beckett. Mm-hmm. Working out with weights!
I enjoy the after effect. They're definitely... I mean, to me, that's another chemical example.
Mm-hmm.
It's the... there's a psychological kind of like a checklist of getting something, accomplishing something in the day. But then there's like the serotonin and the endorphins that release. So I'm not such like a gym rat, but I do enjoy the feeling and the accomplishment.
What about you, Denny? Do you do your leg lifts? Do you get a good feeling after?
Ooh, so it's been a long time. But
when's the last time you did a leg lift?
It's been a long time. Funny enough, I used to be not, I would never use the word physically fit, but I was definitely more fit. And I was trying to, turn the leaf, I guess you could say. But, man, gosh, I just hate it so much, man. I'm purely controlled diet. That's it.
Maureen Rose in the chat room, she said, getting my eyebrows waxed.
Oh, yeah, I can see that.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And the last one on the Reddit list, again, it's a little naughty, having your hair pulled. Beckett, you have the best hair on the show.
Clearly, that stuff gets pulled.
Do you like your hair pulled?
I like things that make me feel good. Like, I'm not like, you know, people are like, oh, how do you want me to scratch you? Like, when I go get a massage, I like the feel good massage. I don't like the deep tissue.
So if a girl touches your hair, like she tries to tug it, are you like, don't touch that shit? It's Beckett's hair.
No, I like it if it's nice, but I don't like rough, like pull my hair. Like
she's like giving you a noogie.
Like some girls are like into scratching. Like, I'm like, I don't scratch.
I mean, don't scratch to the point where there's blood.
No,
like,
totally.
Blood is never a good thing.
They're probably trying to leave a mark on you.
Oh,
yeah,
that's okay. Probably what it is. Yeah. Trying to make that mark on you, Beckett.
That's what they're doing.
Danny, you like that hair tug?
I don't, man. I do not mix the pain and pleasure.
You're all about just pleasure.
I like pure hedonism.
Vicky, I don't want to ask you.
No, I'm fine. As long as my hair's already in a ponytail. Oh. That's fine. It doesn't doesn't hurt as much if it's in a pony.
Again, Vicky with the... I got to tell you, Vicky, very, very good. Well, thank you guys for playing along with that game.
No, oh, you're welcome, Mr. Bird.
The one topic I did want to bring up was... I've been in the hospital a lot the last month or two. And I think we touched on this lightly. And I've not yet got a answer about this. Why are hospitals, especially when people are in the stages of either dying or in their worst state, why don't they put a little bit of art, a little bit of paint, something to make the room a little bit more, I don't know, positive, fun? I've got nobody to reach out. I mean, why do they do this? Is there a reason? Is there a science reason why they do this?
Probably just because so many people move in and out of it.
But why the fuck would you not put...
Yeah, make them yellow walls, right? Something that...
We all like a little sunshine, a rainbow,
honestly,
a butterfly.
Adding color to walls really changes how a room looks.
Oh, my gosh.
White is hard.
We walked down a hallway yesterday because our boy Bigfoot's in the hospital, and it was the most depressing shit I've ever been down in my life. And all it needed was a color here, maybe some paint there, a butterfly hanging...
Anything.
But maybe it goes back to when we talked earlier about the graveyard and what's respectful or not. Maybe, you know, kind of society has determined that this is a serious place where these horrible things are happening. A pink flamingo wall is not appropriate. Maybe
I'm not saying pink flamingo, but
I'm just saying
stars,
at some point. Yeah,
stars
but I'm just
are
saying,
offensive.
I'm just saying at some point they probably figure this is a somber, you know,
Do you
place.
Do you think maybe because people, maybe hospitals have done that in the past and... Like you're saying, someone says, this is so disrespectful.
Right. I mean, it could be.
It's always that quiet minority, that low percentage that moves the needle recently, Denny's.
Yeah. It's the vocalness of the internet.
Why is that, though? Why is the vocal minority winning?
Well, they're probably just catching up steam. I mean, if all you have to do is put stuff on Facebook now, if one person sees it and follows it and then pushes it, that's how everybody spreads all information now. People are grabbing onto all sorts of things that I never thought. Like, I have friends on Facebook that are telling me stuff that I never thought would be something that they would be concerned about. It's weird how the internet has changed a lot of people I knew from, and it could be maybe they were always like that. I just didn't know as much about them because the internet exposes so much more about people.
Yeah, you got like that kooky guy, Alex Jones, who, you know, does InfoWars, and he's admitted he had to go under oath on a litigation, and he had to admit, based on litigation, he's like, oh, like, a lot of what I say is I take at liberty and it's entertainment. But a lot of his listeners take him, like, really, really seriously. Like, a lot of mainstream people and then people at, like, mainstream organizations could be like, oh, can you believe that Alex Jones said that? Rather than just ignore him as fringe and then it gets amplified.
It is weird. The things we could ignore and get away from drama, the things we put attention to,
yeah.
Sometimes we are our worst enemies.
Yeah. So it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. The mainstream media did a self-audit, and they're like, some of the ones that are most critical against this administration, whether you like the administration or not, they're like, did we put him there? Like, the people that were against him maybe did a good job of putting him in office, this administration, because they gave it so much publicity, like free ad space, that no one, you know, even Bloomberg himself could have afforded to get that kind of airtime.
Well, that's how these fringe theories and fringe concepts do make it to the mainstream, right. Is that exact example.
Yeah.
Megan in the chat room, to kind of go back to the whole hospital topic, she says, it's probably budget, Bird. I'm in healthcare. If it comes from charity, they usually allow it. And you're right. It probably is from budget.
Yeah.
But you would think that's an important thing. You would think you would build rooms where people could potentially die into being very, I don't know, a little bit more peaceful. There are certain notes that we all can agree on that are universally stars, the sun, grass growing, donkeys running.
I'm sure the hospital wouldn't object. I think about that scene in Terms of Endearment. When she's, you know, she has cancer and she's dying, and her mom brings in that expensive painting, and hangs it on the wall. I'm sure hospitals, if you knew someone was terminal and they were going to be there a little while, they probably wouldn't mind if you decorated the room.
Terms of endearment. Thanks for the spoiler alert, Vic. was that a movie from like 81?
You know what? I'm only going to make references from the 2000s and above, okay? No,
Vicky, I get shit constantly from all the 80s references. You continue to keep them going. Okay. I love them. I'm so glad that someone else has them. It is weird. Hospitals suck. My whole point is let's just try to make that experience just a hair better.
And that's like a basic experience that everybody will eventually have to go through. There's a lot of things that they probably could afford to, like, if it's a budget thing and everybody agrees that that needs to be done. It's funny how it doesn't change.
Everybody is going to be visiting a hospital
at some point in their life
with a loved one that's going to die.
Yeah.
Not to be a downer, but that's a reality. Yeah. And that's something you got to deal with. You got to be prepared for that.
I'm kind of concerned. I mean, how we take care of our elderly, like, I've become more and more aware of it as I've become older. I'm like, I'm worried about it for selfless reasons and selfish reasons. I'm
of course.
I want to change it now. So when I get there, that, you know, a lot of these people in the elderly, they just kind of like, even their own families, just kind of like, it's like, oh, we got to take care of grandma, you know? And
it's very sad. Yeah. I love this country so much, but I do feel like when it comes to the elderly, we put them in a cabinet and we don't want to deal with them.
Yep.
And we have this kind of attitude. I say it every fucking podcast that the elderly has nothing to contribute. And that is the most wrong statement out there. They have the most to contribute. They've got wisdom. Mm-hmm. They've got shit they have advice. I mean, you need to talk to the elderly. They've been through the fire. They've been to the puppet show. They've seen the fucking strings.
Yeah.
They have something to offer. And for whatever reason, the West, and I mean more of the entertainment West, not so much just the West in general, because that's not a fair assessment, but the entertainment industry, the people that put someone on a microphone, the public, you know, the people that, you know, whoever puts the people out in the public, they don't let the elderly speak as much as they should.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're not like sexy and hip, you know. So the demo is who pays for stuff, always. So if, you know, the demographic is 18 to 35, those are the people making money and paying for stuff.
Gosh, I hate demographics so much.
Our whole foundation is built on people spending money and keeping the economy going. So that's the biggest concern.
I think it actually dovetails nicely into what your guys' earlier point was, is that, you know, we have this amplification of younger people because they have access to Instagram and be able to set up a podcast in their house. Like,
yeah,
that's just a younger thing that they're more familiar with. If there was a way to get that kind of megaphone to the other top of the demographic in terms of age, like, that would be interesting. And let them have a voice. They don't know how to set up their own podcast or how to log on to Instagram. It's just not within what they're familiar with.
So if you had somebody, okay, let's say you had 500 elderly, 80 or above, and you had someone teaching them Instagram. you feel like that could move the needle if it was done the right way and they knew what they were doing.
100%.
I completely agree with you.
Just think like 3 or 4 generations from now, the elderly is going to be like us and people younger than us. So those people will probably know how to do all this stuff. I'm curious to see what it's going to be like because they're raised in a technological age.
It's going to be, I mean, think about this world in 50 years. Holy shit. It's going to be a lot different.
Can you imagine us as grumpier old men on Twitter, like yelling at people?
That's what I can't wait.
There's no way I'm making it to 50 years. Well, I'm 42. I'm going to be 42 tomorrow.
Wow. Awesome.
Are you coming to my birthday party tomorrow, Beckett?
Yeah, I didn't know about it till now.
Thanks for listening to the KBJ show. But yeah, 50 years from now, I'd be what, Denny? You're good at math. 92?
That sounds good.
Technically, I could live to 92. Do I want to? I mean, oh my gosh. Vicky,
I'd be 102.
Would you want to live? Okay, your health is great. You feel good, but the world is changing, baby. Oh, it's changing. Do you want to live to 102?
If my health is good and I still have, you know, like my kids and stuff, I'd be fine with that. I like change. And so, you know, I'd be fine with watching the world change.
So you were cool with hair bands going to grunge. you were cool with that change.
Well, you're talking about the difference between someone's personal tastes.
I'm just kidding.
Did I march against them? No.
did anybody march against grunge? I'm sure somebody marched.
They started the mosh pits.
Hey, so I know a lot of people are asking about our weird whatever email. I saw you, Mr. Beckett, answering people. Right now, we're going to keep it at the KVJ email. Denny's, what is that?
Mail@kvjshow.com.
Mail@kvjshow.com. I will tell you guys behind the scenes for a lot of boring reasons why we're going to do it that way. But yeah, if you have any kind of question or any kind of problem, send them to that email and we will get back to you.
Yep. Mail@kvjshow.com.
We're also trying to work in our Instagram. I know we have a weird and whatever Instagram too. That and the Jason KVJ Instagram. I know these are boring announcements, but honestly, if you do love this podcast, please pay attention. We need people to get involved, share, like, and comment. Denny's, anything to add?
Nice. I agree with all points, man.
I'm doing the whole song and dance.
You were, man. I was just enjoying the show.
You leave me hanging.
No. I want to shout out to all the people that do email me specifically, you know, because they want to talk to me, and that's at contact@pointparanormal.com.
So eventually, just so you all know, let's get a little real. We are finally, we have our own studio. We finally have our own cameras. We have everything. We're going to get our own website, our own email. All that's going to happen. It's going to take a little bit of time. And we're getting a new phone line in here, so we have guests. I know people are very disappointed that we have not had a guest on in 3 weeks. The fucking guests are coming.
Yes, awesome. We're installing the phone system.
Give us a couple months. probably by next week, Denny's.
Yeah, phone system. Yeah, it's a pain, but we could definitely get it done by next week.
Or 2 weeks.
Yeah, I think by next week we'd have it.
And we do want to invite everybody to the birthday bash tomorrow that Beckett is not going to. From 6 to 8, Friday, May 10th at the...
Doss Beer and Pizza.
Off the Singer Island.
Yeah, if you take Blue Heron East, it pretty much dead ends right into it.
Here's a question for y'all. What are your thoughts on? If humans had a mating call, what would it be? What would it sound like?
Oh.
Let's go. Is that yours? Is that yours, Becky?
Is that a generic one?
That's the most popular one.
No.
What would be your personal one?
Okay, think about it. A universal mating call. You're the one that gets the final say. What do you give?
Can I buy you a drink?
That's your mating call?
I mean, I just, you put me
then
on the spot.
Denny's grade him on that.
You put
one.
Me no. on the spot. Don't you think that's probably the most after?
No, as if you had a mating call.
Go ahead. Say that line again.
Can I buy you a drink?
I'm in recovery, you dick face.
Well, then we're not meant to be.
All right. So Beckett over one. Vicky.
But I would be trying to pick up a guy.
Becky, you can't change the rules.
They can change the rules.
No loopholes.
Oh, yeah,
done. Okay. That's not bad, Becky. That's a good mating call for straight men.
Yes. So I think I must have thought this wrong because I was thinking something like a and then you frill up your shoulders.
Give it to me without the explanation. Everybody, including the people listening, close your eyes right now.
All right.
Unless you're driving. If you're driving, open your eyes. All right, close your eyes. Give us that mating call.
What do you think?
I think that's a real mating call I heard on planet Earth.
I think it sounds like everybody in this room is high. Even though I know not everybody is.
It sounded like a bird with a hairball.
Okay.
It doesn't woo everyone.
I'm going to try to give you mine.
All right. I like it.
I'm not done. Fuck, Denny's. You're gonna interrupt my mating call? It's a process.
I thought it was good.
Now I gotta do the whole thing again.
I'm talking about God cock blocking you.
I just got cock blocked from Denny.
Dude, I was just so into it.
You know what? That's all you get. I'm not going to even give you the rest. Oh.
Chewy was interesting.
Oh, Chewy's probably so hard. Vicky, anything to plug? Anything to talk about?
I will be on Saturday from 4 to 6. I will be on the Paranormality Files on paramaniaradio.com. If you want to check out my interview.
Paramania?
Paramania radio.
If you had, if somebody broke into our place right now with a gun, said, Beckett, you have to come up with a jingle real quick for Paramania. What do you do? Go. 3, 2, 1. Denny's go.
Paramania, Paramania. Drives you insane.
I was gonna go something like Paramania.
Oh, I like it. The rock angle.
I won't ask you.
Yeah, please don't.
Becky, anything to go ahead and
well, it's something we kind of talked about. We talked about, you know, sharpening your
psychic skills.
Oh yes,
being more in touch spiritually. This time of year is interesting. I'm in my mid 30s. I'm not married. I don't have any kids. I'm kind of outside of my busy time of the year with my career. I just finished my last weekend of classes. So I haven't committed to it, but I'm curious what you guys think about it. Curious what the audience thinks about maybe trying over the summer, ayahuasca experience.
Oh,
so if someone doesn't know what that is, can you either one of you, hippies, give us
go for it.
So I'm so new to it, but what I've learned is the active substance from a plant, I think mainly in Peru, it's done by a shaman, a spiritual leader. There's an active ingredient called DMT, I think is the ingredient.
Yeah.
And what it does is it's something that helps a spiritual awakening, right? It helps trigger your brain to click on more cylinders than it would normally click on. And people that I have spoke to that have done the experience, to each person, I haven't said anyone, they're like, oh, I wish I hadn't done
it. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
They've told me that in the moment, there's moments where they're like, I wish I hadn't done this. But afterwards, they're like, man. And some people will have different levels of experience. Yes. Some say, yeah, it was pretty good. It was interesting. To the other people on the other end, like, I saw Jesus. Like, I am way more Christian today. I dealt with problems that I had in my childhood, whatever. There's all kinds of different levels of the experience.
Did they report whether or not Jesus had a beard or not?
No.
Okay.
I didn't ask that.
I've asked that question before on the air of the KVJ, and people got mad at me when I said, did Jesus always have a beard? I was legit not at all trying to be cute. I was just asking that question. Oh, my gosh. Why would that be an offensive question, Vicky?
Because people are offended about everything.
Does that seem offensive to you?
No.
Has Jesus always had a beard?
No, but it takes a lot to offend me, so.
Yeah, I'm sure he got a beard in his like late 20s like everyone else.
That time of year.
It got cool.
Yeah, he also did it in his early 20s. We all do it in early. I mean, you grew a beard in your early 20s, right, Beckett?
Yeah.
Yeah, I did too.
I even did a goatee for a little bit.
Yeah, see, I was more of like, I mean, there was a lot of weird things happening in the early 2000s. I had like a soul patch. You did too, Bird.
Vicky, what are your thoughts on a man with a goatee? Hot, sexy?
I'm not into facial hair.
At all?
No.
Really?
Yeah.
So you are more of a Beckett lover than a Denny's and Jaybird lover. Interesting. I don't know if I like that shit. Denny, anything to add to end this podcast? I think we've been going for about an hour.
Yeah, we've been doing good. But just to touch on that, you saw that they're talking about, you guys talked about on the show today, the medical mushrooms. What do you guys thought? That's another eye-opening experience.
Yeah, it's decriminalized in
Colorado, Denver. Yeah.
Do you are you against that? Are you for it?
I've never really done anything for the most part more than marijuana.
Bitch.
I know.
Bitch boy Beckett. No, I'm just kidding.
But I'm really in my head with that kind of stuff. So it would be something that it wouldn't be for a fun time.
For sure. It'd be for the experience.
It'd be for the experience and for, I don't want to sound cliche and say bettering myself, but it would be for the spiritual,
yeah,
you know, improvement, observations, whatever. You know, I've been reading some stuff about Steve Jobs, and he went to see that shaman out in India, and the LSD, and some people, it's kind of on brand with what we talk about here. You know, some people say that he downloaded his idea for Apple through a higher power, aliens, whatever. You know, he had this idea, and that was brought on by LSD.
Yeah. Because you got, on the other spectrum, you got like Jack White, who's sober, that says you can't create when you're outside your normal mind state.
Jack White from the White Stripes, he's a big time. He almost kind of said it's a crutch if you are performing. Again,
if you're using it to be creative.
Who knows if he was given an interview.
Yeah, and, for sure.
You
for
know,
sure.
We all get on our high horse and say shit. And then you're like, you know, 30 minutes later, oh, what the fuck did I just say? But yeah, he says, you know, if you're not creating from your normal state, then you are, it's not real. I disagree with Jack White, by the way.
I do as well. Because I feel
is he making a case that it's performance enhancing drugs?
It's almost like
you're cheating.
The way I looked at it, and I could be completely wrong. That it's like a roid, like a steroid. You are needing something from a false state. I think his opinion is when you're under the influence of something, you're under a false state. That's a very debatable topic. I think some people, the way I look at that, they always say alcoholics or someone's drunk. They say that they give you the truth.
The truth, yeah.
Disagree with that. I've been drunk and I've said lies.
Absolutely.
In fact, when I'm drunk, I give more lies than I give truth. So you can't just throw this blanket statement, drunk people give the truth. That's bullshit. Not everybody's built the same way. Everybody handles everything differently.
Yeah.
On that one, I don't think it's so much the truth. I think you see more of their real personality. Like their emotional state, I think you see that more when someone's drunk.
I do think that about alcohol. I think it magnifies. I think we've had this conversation before. If you're funny, you're sometimes more funny. If you're promiscuous, you're more promiscuous. If you're a fighter, you're more likely to fight.
I couldn't disagree more with both of you right now.
Really?
I think there is so much when it comes to the human experience, when it comes to where they're at mentally in their life, what has happened in their outside world. Is there outside factors making them do something they normally wouldn't do? I know for a fact my outside factor, if something happened in my personal life, especially when I was younger, I would do things and lash out in ways I never would. But I was only doing that because of that outside factor. I think age, I think your experience, I think just time in general, and your journey. I think all of that plays a factor to when it comes to all that kind of stuff, whether you tell the truth or not, whether that's your real self or not. Because I think we are always changing.
Yeah.
Beckett at 21 is different than Beckett at 34.
100%.
And a 21-year-old Beckett is going to be different than a 34-year-old drunk Beckett.
Mm-hmm.
What I mean is a 21 drunk Beckett versus a 34-year-old drunk Beckett, it's going to be different.
Yep. Do you think that different kinds of alcohol have different effects?
I do. I think different kinds of alcohol has different effects. I think different
moods,
whether you're sleeping, what you're eating. And I don't only mean that with just alcohol. I think that just in general. I know for me, if I don't sleep, I'm a different fucking person for a couple of days. And then I get some sleep and I come to and I go, holy shit, why was I acting that way?
Yeah, you get real grouchy.
So I just think it's so easy to say humans are A, B, and C when I don't know if it's like that.
Yeah.
Just my opinion. I could be wrong.
I agree with that. But I also would say that, you know, you could say that it's performance enhancing. But the other thing that I find interesting is I've listened to psychiatrists say that they have done supervised MDMA treatments where, and I think I brought this up last time, where they achieved
MDMA, the ecstasy drug.
Yeah. That active ingredient or whatever, that they achieved in a day worth of therapy what it would take people in a normal sober state going through these multiple layers, Goodwill Hunting style, different things, years. Right. So, you know, it's one thing to say, oh, you know, he cheated because the Beatles, you know, dropped or did mushrooms or did acid to come up with like these great songs. But it's another thing to say like, hey, like I was in a dark place and like this actually helped me be better.
Absolutely. Have you ever done something when you were in a dark place that you normally wouldn't do? Have you ever slept with somebody when you're in a dark place and you're like, why did I do that?
Yeah.
I know you have been.
Why are you looking at me the whole time?
Yeah, you do.
Because you gave me what I desired. Yeah.
You didn't even break eye contact.
You gave me what I needed. Last email, because I did want my dad. So weird how this weird and whatever podcast happens. You know, my dad will tell me subjects, and then I'll get a topic about it. It's almost like, is my dad
emailing you?
Yeah. I wonder if my dad's doing it. No, he's not. But he was talking to me about euthanasia. And here's the email. My dad is 88 years old and is dying of terminal cancer. He's in pain and he wants to die. He told me that he wished euthanasia was legal. He would do it. If it was legal, done without a doubt. What do you all think? Do you think that practice should be legal for sick people suffering with a terminal disease? Or is that just God's work and people should suffer? Ralph from Pennsylvania. Vicky?
I don't think people should suffer. I mean, if it's terminal and you know that there's not any hope, I really don't see any reason for someone to suffer.
The law should not prevent that.
Like, I had a choice when my mom was on life support. We had a choice to take her off life support and let her die naturally, or to put, you know, a trach in her throat and put her in a nursing home and keep her alive artificially forever.
For sure.
I mean, it's a little bit different than euthanasia, but it's still, it was a decision whether we were going to keep her alive or whether we were going to let her go.
It's interesting, these decisions you have to make when someone's dying. We feel like when my mom passed away, she had passed away on a Friday night. And when I got to the hospital that Friday night, they told me she was going to die. They were reading her last rites. Then all of a sudden, people came in there and they kept her on machines for a solid week. My mom died that Friday night. You wonder, why are they keeping her on? Are they keeping her on for money? Are they keeping her on for, like, what? Do they really think she had a shot? Because I knew after Saturday there was no shot of her living. So what was the point of doing all that?
Right. And I can tell you, I had a psychic actually come to the house and contact my mom. And I always felt like in the hospital she was angry at me for something. And I couldn't figure out what it was, what I had done wrong. And the psychic said, your mom's mad because she wanted to die at home. And then he said, wait a second, she did die at home. He didn't know that she had actually died in the ambulance in the driveway. And they had revived her. So her real wish was not to be revived.
Ah, so she had died at the home, and then they revived her.
Yeah, they wanted
her. I mean, you get why they would do that.
I understand why they did it. But then we had to make the decision in the hospital whether they would ever revive her again. And because it's so traumatic to revive somebody, and at her age, you know, I signed the do not resuscitate order.
Well, my mom was unconscious, so you go, okay, let me get inside my mom's head. Would my mom want to be alive right now? Would she want to have every single day a failing organ? I know I wouldn't. I know I would want to just kind of die with a little dignity. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I mean, I agree with the email. If you want to die on your own terms and you feel like you can't do it anymore and, you know, you're older and you're dying of a disease, yeah, man, I think you should have that right to say, go ahead and kill me.
Yeah, I think you should be able to.
Well, me being an animal lover and trying to get laws and morality to get better for animals, it's weird to me that we are oftentimes more humane to our animals in how we reason with it. And we're saying, hey, it's not fair to let my dog be in pain, right? But we won't extend the same thing to our grandparents, and that's their wish. Yeah. You know, it's cruel to let them do it. And the other thing on the business side of it, one of the reasons the healthcare is unaffordable for so many people, most healthcare expenses come in the very end of life. You know, that's when keeping people and that's when the most of the insurance kicks in at the end of life. So to me, that's crazy. It's crazy how we treat our, again, it goes back how we treat our elders.
Yeah, no, it does. I mean, we're not at all trying to be depressing. That's not what our goal is, but sometimes the weird one ever gets a little heavy. This is part of the game.
The one thing I wanted to ask you guys and Vicky too, I'm kind of curious in terms of the semantics, in terms of how, what do you guys think of, what's the good way or the best way to say someone died? You know, like, on the most offensive part, you could say, oh, that person croaked.
I always say die and pass. For me, because I've dealt with it quite a bit, I just say that person passed away.
Passed away.
Passed away to me is the most kind of cordial. The term dead is a little rough.
Heavy, hard.
It is. It's very news related. Yep. And pass away to me, I think, is the most peaceful, Vicky.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Pass on, pass away.
Do you think
away.
That people generally accept that, or do you think that passing alludes to the fact that you believe in the other side?
I think when it comes to all that shit, you're damned if you do, you're damned if you don't. And if people don't like it, they can go fuck themselves.
Yeah,
honestly,
I
mean, you got to have your own belief in life, and not everyone's going to like your shit, man. I mean, clearly not everyone's going to like what you're talking about.
Totally.
And, you know, you have to get to a point where you don't let those kind of people affect your perspective. Because I think there's some people that do have a message to give, and they get really scared as soon as there's clapback. I hate to break it to you. If you're ever going to put a microphone in front of your face, there's going to be some major fucking clapback, and you got to get some tough skin. You have to.
Totally.
If not, you don't belong in front of a microphone.
Yeah.
I mean, not to be a dick, but that's just the truth.
Yep.
Honestly.
Makes sense.
Yeah. Damn. Bird closing this thing.
Well, I do want to say thank you to everybody who does listen to the Weird Whenever podcast. You guys are awesome. You guys are helping us make some noise, at least in our sales building.
Oh, yeah.
And thank you for the very kind and positive words towards my aunt and to my best friend. Denny's my best friend too. I have several best friends.
Bigfoot,
First Kidney. We really do appreciate that. Please keep those thoughts going on. We love you all. And
Bigfoot is real.
What's that sound? Where? It's aliens and they're living in your town. Damn. They have arrived. What? They're all around. Where? So many aliens living in your town. Are you scared of aliens? Well, you should be. Because aliens want to probe around in your booty. Aliens are here to take our resources, steal our water, and eat all of our horses. Aliens are nothing like the movie E.T. The movie Independence Day is how it will be. To all the victims who have been kidnapped, Snack Pack dedicates this town. What was that?
What?
What's that sound?
Where?
It's aliens and they're living in your town.
Damn.
They have arrived.
What?
They're all around.
Where?
So many aliens living in your town.